I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. First Lady Michelle Obama announced last week that four Milwaukee public schools have been selected to take part in the White House's 2016-2017 Turnaround Arts Program. The schools are Lancaster, Sherman Multicultural Arts, and Roosevelt Creative Arts Middle School, and Dr. Martin Luther King School, which is an elementary school here. It's on the north side of Milwaukee. The Turnaround Arts Program is interesting. It was developed by the President's Committee on the Arts and the Humanities, launched in 2012, and it brings schools, nonprofits, mentors who are artists to enhance arts instruction in schools that have had problems. You know, they don't have the funding that a lot of other schools have. They have students who have a lot of challenges, and it's done remarkable things. It's brought up test scores and grade point averages in math and also in language arts. And as most of us know who loved going to school, part of the reason we love going to school were the terrific arts programs in our high schools and middle schools and elementary schools. So it's a real honor for MPS schools to be involved here. And during the course of this hour, we will have several guests with us. Megan Beyer will join us right here at the top of the show, Executive Director of the President's Committee on the Arts and the Humanities. She was appointed to the position by the president in 2015, and in 2016, she led the first official U.S. cultural delegation to Cuba. Later in the hour, the Chief Innovation and Information Officer of MPS, and also the principal at Dr. Martin Luther King School, where they are one of the recipients of this high honor. So we start with Megan. Hi, Megan. Thank you ever so much for being with us.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for having us. I'm thrilled you're doing your whole show on this.
Yes, we are too. I'm a big believer in arts education, and I want to ask you, well, the idea, who had the idea for these turnaround schools? And then you simply must tell me how students have benefited enormously from this arts education.
Well, the president is the one who actually had the idea. You know, President Barack Obama was the first candidate to ever run with an arts platform. And I don't know if you remember, but it was early in 2008, he did a press conference and he talked about how we need to reinvest in arts education because, you know, during the years of No Child Left Behind, we saw, you know, tight budgets and we saw some decision making that was approaching the arts as kind of an extra.
Yes.
And so by that kind of perspective, what you found was in schools that were underfunded, and that tended to be, you know, communities that were under financial strain, since public schools in America are funded by local tax base, you found that the arts were disappearing. So the president has this committee of the arts and the humanities is put together by every incoming administration. The president himself puts committee members together to be an advisory group for him on the arts. And so their first task was to do a study of winning America's future through creative schools, is what they called it. And they did a lot of research into the studies that are already out there that show not only that the arts are good, that we should have arts in education, but that if you use art as and integrate that into your schools and into every course that you teach, in other words, if you use art integration in the schools, that you have these amazing outcomes. And those outcomes are even better in schools that are in underperforming communities. And so after this study was done, a lot of policymakers started to quote the study, and it, you know, it really kind of made a difference. People started thinking about it. And then the committee said, we had all these artists on the committee, which was a little unusual. Most presidents have art philanthropists and art specialists and art historians, but President Obama had Yo-Yo Ma and Sarah Jessica Parker and Chuck Close and Paula Crown and, you know, Kerry Washington and Cal Penn and many, many other artists who said, wait a minute, we'll go into these schools. You know, we know this works. And we teamed up with the Department of Education. They gave us a grant to do the very rigorous professional development for the existing faculty. So we retrained all the teachers in these eight schools. This was our pilot program.
Mm-hmm.
And we set out to prove, we took schools in the lowest 5% for performance strata in America that are designated by their states as being underperforming schools. And having done this, we had Booz Allen come in and study it, because we knew that was one of the things our report focused on, was that you really have a lot of evidence but not a lot of data around how the arts can change a school. And so now we have this study by Booz Allen Hamilton looking at these eight schools that were transformed by the arts. And we've seen it over and over again. We've expanded the program to 49 schools. And I could just tell you story after story of what it's meant to these schools. And then we have these great artists now, not only members of the President's Committee, but many, many other artists like Usher has just joined, and Dave Matthews, and Joshua Bell, the violinist, and, you know, many, many artists have been attracted to this idea because, you know, they of all people know how important the arts are to education, and they can be a lifeline for young,
yes,
young people.
Yes. So the idea in all the communities now where there are these schools is to engage mentors who are in the artistic world at the top of their game in the local communities. So in Milwaukee, artists would be mentors to schools and also nonprofits.
Yes. Part of what we do is kind of help a community to reach out to others in that community that are in the arts. So, you know, a lot of times the schools that we're dealing with are struggling just to kind of get through the day, and they haven't been able to create these partnerships with arts organizations in the community. So a lot of times we see a great deal of the transformation come into play because local companies, local arts organizations begin to engage in the schools. And part of that is that you have these artists who've come in. Like here in Washington, we have a school in Anacostia that Elizabeth Banks has taken over, and she does robocalls when it's parent-teacher night. And so all the parents show up for parent-teacher night, and when she comes to visit, they invite many people in the community. They invite people from arts organizations, and suddenly they come into the school and say, well, hey, we could do something here too. And so the artist piece of this is really critical. And, you know, when you hear about, oh, artists adopting schools, you know, big artists like Cameron Diaz and Kerry Washington, you think, what could that do? It is amazing what that could do,
mm-hmm,
in part because they're so committed to these schools. Like Josh Groban has a school in Southside Chicago, and he did a crowdsourced mural for the front of the school.
Oh.
That has, you know, indelibly changed that school. Misty Copeland in New York took her entire school to the New York City Ballet.
Oh.
Citizen Cope came to Washington for a concert, and he was telling his kids about it, and they loved the idea, and he said, I'll bring you with me. He paid for their hotel bill, and he paid for all their food and their whole trip. They'd never been to Washington. They were on an Indian reservation. I mean, it's just been amazing to see the changes that have occurred anecdotally and measurably.
It makes me wonder, Megan, and I don't know what we do about this, but for those of us who were in school some years ago, I loved going to school, but why I really loved going to school was the speech team and the debate team and the theater department. That kept me at school all day long and into the hours of the evening doing plays. That was the wonderful part, particularly of high school. And so many young people feel that way. They may love science and math and may love English, but they love those kinds of extracurriculars. And I'm wondering, how did we veer so far off track from making that a vital part of our schools?
Well, the president was very passionate about that very topic as a candidate. And as president, you know, he's now just signed this Every Student Succeeds Act, which has expanded the definition of a well-rounded education to include the arts. And while that sounds subtle, it's actually a big change. And what it will mean is that Title I funding, for example, which is the funding that goes to underperforming schools in underserved communities, can now be applied for these kinds of arts programs. Because we have the evidence now that shows that it actually improves the schools, that this is a tool for education reform as recognized by the ESSA legislation. So, you know, I think part of it was during the years of No Child Left Behind, there was this very, very strong emphasis on testing. The president also reduced the amount of testing that can take place because schools became, you know, kind of factories for tests, and it did take the joy out of it for kids. And
mm-hmm.
when you see the difference between a school that doesn't have our program in a community that had lost their art programs, and then 2 years later you see it with the arts in it, it's the difference between a house and a home, an empty house and a home. You know, it's hugely transformative, and failing to see that, as I think we have done a little bit in the last few decades, you know, really was not serving us in our goal to improve our schools.
And when you looked at that study that you mentioned, schools seeing a 22.55% improvement in math proficiency and 12.6% improvement in reading directly related to the Turnaround Arts program, would you say, Megan?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, it was, because we even compared the schools, our pilot schools, to schools that had received SIG grants, you know, because the education reform provides funding from the Department of Education, or used to under No Child Left Behind, that would pour a lot of resources into schools. So we would compare our schools to schools that had support, but not in the same way that we supported our schools, which was focused only through the arts. The other thing that people often miss is that when you're teaching through the arts, you know, think about how that translates in various classes. You have the biology song, you have the chemistry play, you have the paint by fractions. Elizabeth Banks calls it learning with your body. You know, you're up and you're at it and you're doing it, and that's kinesthetic learning. And any education specialist will tell you that, you know, that is often a great way. You know, some people learn that way. If you take the arts out of the curriculum, you know, you've lost some of your students. And, you know, it's a fun way to learn, too. I know, just from being in plays, I used to, and doing speeches and oratory contests, you learn a lot that way.
Yes, you do. Megan, thank you so much for being with us. We're going to talk with Milwaukee participants now. We're very excited to be part of the program and to be in Washington last week, too. Thank you so much for being with us.
We saw them, and we had a great time with them. So I'm glad you're talking with them, and we are so looking forward to working with them over the next few years.
Great. Megan Beyer, Executive Director of the President's Committee on the Arts and the Humanities in Washington last week, right after the announcement was made that four Milwaukee Public Schools would be a part of the White House's 2016-2017 Turnaround Arts Program. Our next two guests, and we'll meet them in just one moment. And welcome your phone calls as we talk more broadly about the role of arts in education. Some believe that we just really need to concentrate, and we have for the past some years, on math and science education, and to the exclusion of arts education in schools. Are they a vital part of learning? It would appear from the studies done of Turnaround Arts that other scores went up substantially as a result of having the arts in schools. Here's our phone number for you to join the conversation, and we'll take your comments pretty soon. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Twitter is @KDunnShow. And you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Joining us now, and they were in Washington at the White House last week when First Lady Michelle Obama announced that four MPS schools would be a part of the Turnaround Arts Program. And we're delighted to have them with us to talk about how this will be implemented in these four schools and what it was like to be at the White House. Tanya Adair is the Chief Innovation and Information Officer of Milwaukee Public Schools. She was a principal at Washington High School of Information Technology and has done a number of other jobs for MPS. And Dr. Marcus Arrington, and he is the principal at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Elementary School, one of the four MPS schools to be a part of the Turnaround Arts Program, and I understand that he is a musician as well. Thank you both very much for being with us. Hi.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. So how was the White House?
Oh, it was beautiful.
Was it?
Yes, it was. And being able to see the kids perform and all of, you know, the activities around that day was just really awesome.
So were MPS students involved in performing, or is that next year?
So that will come next year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's our hope. So we were able to see kids that were already in the program in schools that have been implementing the program for at least a year.
And Dr. Arrington, how did your school get selected? Do you know?
Well, one of the, I guess, qualifications was schools that were in line to be, well, they were actually on the priority list for the SIG grants. And I think also we had an opportunity to host a couple representatives from Washington, D.C. There was a tour, and there was a presentation that was delivered where I had a chance to expound upon the current commitment that we have to the arts in our program, in our school. And also, I had an opportunity to make the case for why a program of the nature and stature of Turnaround Arts will be an excellent vehicle to help us go to what I believe is the next level in terms of closing the gap with regard to achievement and improving student outcomes in a variety of other areas.
And Tanya, I know that MPS has been working for some time with Arts at Large and other organizations to bring more arts in the school. It's been hard with everything else that needs to be done and the fact that MPS doesn't have the funding base that some other suburban districts have. It's been hard to keep up really terrific arts programs, but a lot of schools do have arts programs, and this will only help enhance those, won't it?
Exactly. Since 2013, several schools, MPS has really had a focus on bringing arts and music back into the community. So MPS has added 126 art and music teachers, and every school now has at least one part-time position. But for these four schools, this is going to help enhance what's already happening around the arts and build some momentum in helping us to improve student outcomes.
And Dr. Arrington, talk about how you incorporate the arts, because you do to a remarkable extent at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. School.
Well, it started with, I guess, my just commitment and love for music and dance. Not that I dance, but I know it's a significant activity when I think about the children that we serve at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. School. One of my desires was to bring in community partners who I felt, one, had a heart for young people, the desire to see them prosper, and two, had the skill set to teach them skills that they could utilize both in that arts form and platform, but also that could be transferable to the classroom. And so working initially just with my own connections in the community, was able to secure some relationships that will be able to help us to get African drumming started in our school. But this year, unlike last year, we were able to feature dance. So that was one way. But the second way was also working with representatives from MPS Central Services in our art department, who helped us through an initiative called Filling the Gap, which was another way to connect us with community partners in the arts. And through their support and help, we were able to expand our arts offering this year to include some dramatization through the African American Children's Theater. We were able to bring in a visual artist who worked with our K-4 and K-5 scholars, as well as some middle school scholars. And so it really was an effort and a move to try to expand the spectrum of what Dr. King scholars are exposed to. And my desire is that we'll build upon what we've already began. And I'm certain that through Turnaround Arts and the support of MPS as well, we'll be able to do so.
Yeah, that sounds terrific. Tanya, what will it mean to these schools to be a part of the Turnaround Arts program? What can they do that they couldn't have done when they weren't a part of it?
So Turnaround Arts will bring about greater arts access for them, but also help to increase student achievement and provide some structure for particular programs. For instance, the eight pillars that this program is built off of is something that shows how it has worked in the past. So we will follow the model that has been implemented in the past through the research that they've done, as well as conduct our own research with them to assure that the things are those programs are working. So incorporating their eight pillars that includes the principal, the art specialist, and all of the teachers, as well as bringing the parent and community and the entire school environment, within, just to have a central focus on arts integration, I think that is truly amazing. And having those partners to assist in this program, I think that's what's going to help put it over the edge.
Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier with Megan about artists who have essentially kind of adopted schools. I know we don't have any really, really wealthy, or maybe we do and they're hidden somewhere, artists who live right in the area who can adopt schools. But will there be active participation among the many wonderful artists who live in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, it is our hope that we will have some that live in Wisconsin, but right now I know that there are some national artists that have been assigned with our schools.
Yes. Oh.
And I don't know if I can release their names yet, so I won't talk about that.
Oh.
But there are some artists that have been assigned. Plus, we are helping to seek out local artists as well. So we know that there are artists that are nationally known that live that are from Milwaukee.
Uh-huh.
We want to reach out to them as well.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's wonderful. We're going to welcome phone calls for both of you as we continue here. We're talking about the Turnaround Arts Program. It was announced by First Lady Michelle Obama last week that four Milwaukee Public Schools have been selected, and this is a pretty select group. There aren't many schools in the country part of this. Lancaster, Sherman Multicultural Arts, and Roosevelt Creative Arts Middle School, and also Dr. Martin Luther King Elementary School. Our guests right now are Tanya Adair, who's the Chief Innovation and Information Officer of Milwaukee Public Schools, Dr. Marcus Arrington, Principal at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Elementary School, now will be one of the schools participating and already with a pretty vibrant arts program at that school. The importance of arts. We have seen cutbacks, of course, and those school districts that are poorer than other school districts in the country have suffered many of the cuts because the funding base isn't there to supplement them. MPS does have a pretty vibrant arts program in many schools, and in these four schools it will be certainly outstanding. The importance, what happens to math scores, what happens to other scores when people are involved in the arts? Should schools have vibrant arts community, or do we really need to concentrate just, you know, on math and science and English? What do you think? 800-486-8655 is our number. And let's start our calls with Dan in Middleton. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Thank you. I really congratulate your guests on helping to get these kinds of results and to further your commitments to the arts in education. So it's great to get some good news for a change having to do with education. The question I wanted to ask is kind of, I'm going to try to ask this, I'm not sure in a real coherent way, but for me at least, one of the things that's important about this is the reinvestment in arts at the federal level, which to my mind really speaks to the recent history of defunding the arts at the federal level, which mostly had to do with cultural conservatives, mostly Republicans, not all, but mostly, kind of, you know, fixating on the most provocative or the most controversial kinds of artworks that in some cases were only very indirectly funded by federal dollars. And I guess I like seeing this change in the federal policy, but I wonder, because I don't think those culture wars having to do with the arts were ever really resolved, and you can see them continuing even now in from time to time. And I just wonder about what your perspective is on all of that
Let's get a response. Tanya?
Well, one of the things that we kind of want to talk about is when we talk about turnaround arts, it's not arts for art's sake. So it's not just about arts or math and reading or arts or the content areas. This is arts integration within the content areas. And the research shows that it has the arts integration does improve student outcomes. Not just it motivates students. And like someone said before, students don't come to school a lot of times for math, science, English, and social studies. They come because of the activities, because of the programs, and while they're there, they're going to learn the math, science, English, and social studies. So having arts integrated into the programs, into all of the content areas, is something that's going to help motivate kids and want students to be in school because it allows them to have something that they can open up to, something that can connect to them culturally in every student group. You'll find that there is some type of culture that each one has. So you definitely want to tap into each one of those and provide culturally responsive curriculum for them. And this, I believe, is something that will help us to do that.
Mm. So Dr. Arrington, in a school that already has a lot of arts, will the turnaround program find more arts programming in, say, a science class or in a math class in some way?
Well, definitely. As Chief Adair just mentioned, the idea is to integrate art within the curriculum. And we actually have, you know, some of that going on. It's funny, a lot of times, unless you actually pinpoint a best practice or a strategy that a teacher is utilizing, they don't always recognize that it's something of great value. And so it's not to say that arts aren't already being integrated. But what Turnaround Arts is going to help us do and build teacher capacity to do is help them be intentional on capitalizing on a variety of learning styles that our young people come into our school with on a daily basis. And that's really drawn upon the theory of multiple intelligences that was advanced by Howard Gardner years ago, the renowned Harvard professor. And so, whether it be math or whether it be science, I like to look at it as the arts being a vehicle, a bridge, and perhaps a entryway or entry point for young people to be able to access and participate in traditional literacies. Sometimes because we don't, quote-unquote, speak their language, which may be a part of the arts, some students are shut out from the educational experience. And by being more deliberate with arts integration, in the core curriculum, what we're essentially saying to the students is that we welcome you and we welcome your voice and your manner of expression in the educational experience.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan, for your call. Sarah in Lake Zurich, Illinois. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, thank you very, very much. And I, okay, so I've been subbing in elementary schools for a couple years now, and some of the schools I work in have an arts program, a strong one, and others hardly have any. And I just hate going to the schools that don't have them. They're just like such a bleak and unhappy place, I think. But I talk to art teachers who say that they have seen special needs kids like who can't speak. They have seen them, their skills just blossom through approaching it through an art way. And my question is, and I really want to be, I want to get certified to teach music in elementary school, but it just seems like a stupid thing to do right now because it's all getting cut. But I want to know if any schools which have cut their arts programs have been able to measure a drop in scores and if they are considering putting them back in.
Mm. Tanya, that goes to you.
Well, I think what we want to look at is prior to MPS bringing the arts back, there was a cut. So within that massive cut of our arts programs, there came a decline in our assessment scores, a decline overall in our schools. And since the onset, and like I said, in 2012, when we began to really kind of focus on bringing arts back, there have been some increases that have been made, and it takes time, but there are some gains that have been made with that. And then we have schools that have been able to increase attendance as well as decrease suspensions. because they brought programs like the arts back.
Thank you very much, Sarah, for your call. Tim sends this email, giant liberal waste of money and time. We need to get back to the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic. Dr. Arrington.
Well, again, I think there's some assumptions that some people have when it comes to what is essential. In NPS, we believe in educating the whole child, and one of the ways that we do that is by using the arts. The fact is, we're talking about a different era of our society. We're talking about a different generation of young people, and what some would consider to be the normal way or traditional approach that a student should have when they come to school, it just simply isn't the same way, or it doesn't always work. We have postmodern children that we're working with, and so they don't necessarily just subscribe to what I consider to be our stuff because we're the people in authority. Sometimes there has to be a reason given for why they should want to engage in reading mathematics and the sciences. And so, again, as I used that term previously about the arts being a vehicle or a bridge to help them to learn and understand why these other content areas are important. Of course, the core competencies have to be explored, they have to be engaged, and young people have to master those skills. We know that. But again, if we eliminate the arts, what we're doing really is eliminating, I think, a segment of our population. I mean, there's people who have testimonials, and Ms. Adair alluded to it a little bit earlier, that the arts kind of saved their life. And so they wouldn't even go to school were it not for the opportunity to be in a musical or to be in a play or to be in a band. And so for us, we recognize and we certainly do not reduce the importance of the core curriculum. But again, when we look at educating the whole child and considering a lot of the socio and emotional factors that come into play when you talk about school attendance and even just participation in the learning experience, to cut off the arts would be to be do great harm and detriment to children, to their families, and I think overall to our community at large.
Let's go next to Sissy in Milwaukee. Hi, Sissy.
Hi.
Hi.
Congratulations to you, Tanya and Marcus, for being a part of this program and for having the opportunity to go to the White House. That's awesome. I was an art major and grew up in a house in the South that is always full of music, and to this day, always saw the importance of that part of my life will always be something that I was thankful that, you know, I had the exposure to this varied types of music and things like that. And it's so important to children as well as trying to improve their academic skills. So I totally disagree with the female who commented that this is not a progressive way to be teaching the children, because it is a combination of art and science, math, engineering.
And I need to hold you there, Sissy. Your phone connection is just not very good, but I think we got the gist of what she was saying. Tanya, you want to respond?
I could barely hear, but I do. For what I heard, I do appreciate her comment. Yes, it definitely is, again, an opportunity for arts integration and to focus on not just reading and math, but to focus on integrating the arts within reading and math. There are many, many examples of how you can infuse the two. So, for instance, in math and music, understanding fractions, sometimes you can use music notes or anything with music, the beat even, for students to be able to understand the fractions and being able to make those connections with students. And I think I appreciate her comment that she was made, that it is vital and is important.
Right. Joe sends this message on Facebook. Our son was one of the accompanists last week at the Turnaround Arts Program at the White House. We know both professionally and personally the importance of the arts in the schools. We not only supported our children in the arts, but I taught high school band for over 35 years. Isn't that great?
That's great.
Tell me a little bit more about the students who performed. What did you see at the White House? Where were the kids from? What were they performing for you? Dr. Arrington?
Sure. The students spanned the nation. There were young people from Hawaii, Chicago, Connecticut, New Orleans, the D.C. area, and I was just thoroughly impressed by the enthusiasm that they displayed, and also the precision. You could tell that they had made a serious commitment to perform at a high level. There was a sense of pride that I observed, not only representing their respective cities and locales, but also for their school. And the atmosphere was electric. You couldn't help but really smile the whole time, because, you know, it's a good feeling when we make connections with our children. Yes, they're our future, but they are our present as well. And I looked at what those young people were able to contribute, and I could only imagine the impact that they may be having on their peers. And I just kind of had a fleeting thought when I was observing the talent show, I wonder what the rest of the school looks like, you know, if this is only a handful or a small sample size of the student body that's been afforded the opportunity to work with the artists that have been associated with Turnaround Arts, and to work with teachers who are deliberately infusing arts into the general curriculum. So it was a high energy and a very feel-good moment. We also had a celebration here at our district office where we had student representatives from each of the four schools that were represented. Sure, and there was ballroom dancing. There was a video displayed by one school. Scholars from my school actually did some African drumming with their drum instructor, and we had another school, I believe it was Roosevelt, they had members from their choir that sang. So we had our own celebration here, and Milwaukee was pumped and very excited, and we still are, because we know, just as we witnessed there in D.C., that our young people will be energized and will rally behind this this new focus.
Right. Tanya, how about you? You want to add to that?
Yeah, I was really excited from the span of speaking, the spoken word that happened, the singing, the dancing. Students were really, really excited. I do want to add that, you know, a part of what we're doing, we have quite a bit of support from community partners. Definitely the Hertzfeld and Zilber Foundation have definitely stepped up, and they were a part of our celebration here as well, along with other business partners that happened in Milwaukee while we were in D.C. During the same time. So I think it was just awesome to be able to see that and see the possibilities of our students, and to know that these are the same students. These are students just like the students that we serve, and to see the possibilities was really just an eye-opening experience for me.
We're going to welcome more phone calls. We're talking this hour about the announcement that was made, and it's become a reality now, that four Milwaukee public schools have been selected to take part in the White House's 2016-17 Turnaround Arts Program. Lancaster, Sherman Multicultural Arts, and Roosevelt Creative Arts Middle Schools, and also the Dr. Martin Luther King Elementary School. So it will include all kinds of things. There will be, we just heard, we don't know who these high-profile national artists are, but they will be adopting schools. There will be a focus on professional development for teachers and administrators. And the visual arts, music, dance, theater, and media arts will find their way into all classrooms. There will be in-school and after-school achievement programs, enrichment programs for the students. And there are several Milwaukee arts organizations that will be a part of this program. First Stage Children's Theater, UW-Milwaukee Peck School of the Arts, DanceWorks, MPS has been adding more arts and music teachers since 2012. So arts is finding its way back into the schools, and in a big way in these four schools. Well, but it's prompted a broader conversation, too, about the fact that there's been so much emphasis on course subjects and on testing that we've lost some arts programs, particularly in school districts that don't have the funds to be able to provide that. And yet, those of us who were in school, many of us really relied on those programs to give us a sense of humanity and a sense, really, of excitement about going to school. So here's our phone number for you to join the conversation, 800-486-8655. Lines are open for you right now, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org. Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're on Twitter, and that's @KDunnShow. And you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go back to phone calls. Melissa in Fond du Lac. Hi.
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 I was just calling in to say that in all major countries where education is above the standard of our current, it's part of their main curriculum is the arts. And it has to be because it does teach so much. My children originally, we moved out to Wisconsin, but we originally came from a small school in Cabot, Vermont. And I don't know if you've ever heard about it, but they had a band teacher there that actually was in a band, and he taught the kids how to play. He took them on the road. But he didn't just give them the education. He made them work for it. They had to spend 1 year not being part of the band, and they had to show that they were committed to the band. As long as they were committed to the band, he allowed them to go on. But my kids would go to school at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they get home at 10 o'clock at night. They actually toured part of the country just doing concerts. And I think that's an important piece of it, too, because in the education system, what they're teaching is you need to come in, you need to do the math, you need to do the core curriculum, you need to do, but they don't require the commitment.
Mm-hmm.
That was required there. And the stuff he taught them is just absolutely amazing. When we moved out here, my girls wouldn't join the band because it was marching band. It had no, it didn't allow for any creativity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, my one caveat about it.
Dr. Arrington, Tanya?
I just want to, and thank you for that comment. So I can just recall back from my time as a child. I was a music student as well. I played the flute in the band as well as I was a singer, and how much I enjoyed music and going to school because of that. During a time, I'm from the South, so during a time when I was had to be bused to a school that I was not necessarily interested in, being a part of, and they were not necessarily interested in being in me being a part of that school, one of the pieces that made me really feel at home at that school was the arts and being a part of that choir and being able to go off to the different solo and ensemble festivals and come back with medals. And that made me so interested in being a part of that school and kind of helped me to get acclimated into the school. That made me work harder toward my academics. So just realizing that piece alone is the part that because somebody saw the need, saw something in me that made me want to do better and work harder at academics.
And how about you, Dr. Arrington? What was your early experience?
Well, I can recall we had a traveling music teacher at the school, and I'm an MPS graduate, proudly. And I can recall a traveling music teacher, and that was always a highlight for us. I remember, you know, singing songs. But part of my experience with the arts also came from outside of the school, having a church background. Music was very much a part of the culture and the fabric of what took place. So whatever I felt that I didn't get in the school setting, you know, I was able to get in that religious setting. I remember going for lessons and seeing classmates go for lessons when I was in class and, you know, being a bit envious, like, hey, I want to take lessons. Why doesn't my mom put me in piano lessons? But as I grew older, I think my love for music in particular began to grow. it went from just being one who appreciated the sound to one who was curious about the sound that I could actually create. And it really wasn't until, I would say, my late teens that I really began to explore and take those steps towards learning instrument on my own. And it seems, ironically, it seems that as I've gotten older, my affinity for it has increased. There's a level of freedom, and I think reflection, you know, we live in such a high-stress kind of world, you know, where there are a lot of demands, and for me, music in particular is a way that I can kind of unplug and be creative and, you know, make a deeper connection, I think, with myself. And I think that's a strong element to building self-confidence. A lot of our students don't know really how to locate themselves. And so when you ask them, you know, who they are or what they want to do or what they can do, a lot of that, you have a lot of empty space. You know, you don't really hear anything. And I think one aspect that is beautiful about the arts is students can find themselves. They can find their voice and the way that they express themselves to the world and their way of being in the world. And so to the caller's point, I think there's a need for kind of standardization of, you know, well, this is the musical offering that we have. But then I also think there's a need for more of a unique an approach that addresses the uniqueness of a particular child's interest. And so by us being able to incorporate, you know, visual, music, dance, theater, and media arts, I'm certain that we'll have some things that may be standard, but that we'll also be able to help children identify what their niche is and what they actually will flourish in the most.
Yeah, lovely answer. Thanks, Melissa, for your call. Chris in Shorewood, hi.
Hi. When I heard you say, this fellow calling in and saying, we need to get back to the basics, I question and say, what are the basics? When I started teaching 60 years ago, I thought I wanted to go into politics first. I wanted to make a better world. And then I realized through teaching the arts, we can teach and help children appreciate the beauty of nature. We can get them to appreciate a sunset and clean water and their own ability to create, because every child, every human has that within him that needs to come out, and he has to feel important that he can do something and he can be something. And you can do that through teaching, and children grow that way into responsible adults. And when they get into older classes, they have to have the discipline to listen to when the other instruments are going. They do critical thinking. They do positive inward thinking, and they start being good citizens and being part of a community rather than the outside. It works, and I am so delighted that Milwaukee is getting back to the real, real basics, so every child is important, and every child will know he can be a positive community person.
Tanya.
I thank you for that comment. Definitely warms my heart to hear that. So, yes, thank you.
Thanks so much, Chris, for your call. Tom in Madison, hi. Running short on time. Hi, Tom. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to go to Tom here. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how you doing? Great show. I was thinking that music is nothing but math. Theater teaches empathy and problem solving, and most scientists, if you ask who inspired them, they're not going to say another scientist. They will most likely say first somebody like Heinlein, Asimov, Bradbury, even Carl Sagan, people who are writers more than even scientists. And it's the writing and the literature and the arts that inspire, and that's the part that's missing in this whole misalignment of STEM and going back to basics.
Thank you so much, Tom, for your call. Lots of support for the arts, understandably. Thank you very much, Tanya. Congratulations. We'll look forward with great anticipation to see what happens with the turnaround arts program in these schools. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Arrington, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us. Our pleasure.
Yeah, our pleasure. Tanya is Chief Innovation and Information Officer of Milwaukee Public Schools. Marcus Arrington, Principal at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Elementary School, one of the four MPS schools to be accepted in the Turnaround Arts Program. Thanks to Scotty Myers for producing this hour, and to Scotty as well for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. John Munson, the wonderful John Munson, will be with you tomorrow, filling in for me. So that's that story. And until next week, thanks for listening. News is coming up momentarily from National Public Radio.